Life hacks. Life hacks. Unlocking Proverbs. This morning we're going to look at a really interesting topic. It applies to every single person in this room, and it's a struggle that you have every day of your life. Every single person struggles with this particular issue, and so we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to begin with this life hack. You know, we've been using the theme life hacks. Life hacks are things that make our lives better, right? And so today I want to give you a life hack that will help you. Seven things that you should never say to someone, all right? Seven things you should never say to someone. Number one, I don't care. What they hear is, leave me alone. I have better things to do than listen to you. Secondly, you're wrong. What they hear, you're stupid. You know nothing. You're worthless. A third statement you should never say, you can't do it. What they hear is you don't have what it takes to do it. No matter how hard you try, so why do you even try? Fourth, this should be easy. What they hear, it's easy for most people. If you have trouble doing it, there's probably something wrong about you. Now, how about this next one? I told you so. What they hear, you did not listen to me. That's all your fault. I'm so much better than you. Or, as I just said before, what do they hear? You don't listen to me. You're making me repeat myself. You're so annoying and dumb. The last one, good luck. Now, of course, we don't believe in luck, all right? But good luck. What they hear, there's nothing you can do that will make you succeed. Only luck will. Let's hope for a once-in-millennium planet alignment-like opportunity so that you can succeed. You see, we need to understand the power of a word. The power of a word. You know, people can do powerful things. They can accomplish great things. They can discipline themselves. They can prepare themselves. They can focus, have a laser focus, and succeed in the things that they're accomplishing. But there's one thing that we have such a hard time controlling. One challenge that's too much for all of us. In fact, it pins us down to the mat. It laughs at our discipline. It mocks our focus. Because it seems to win so many times. According to the Bible, it's the most difficult thing for a man to bridle. It's your mouth. It's extremely difficult to tame the tongue. James says that men can tame wild animals like lions and tigers, but he cannot tame his tongue. It's like the rudder of a ship that will still steer your life. Now, we all struggle with it, right? And we all have regrets. So it's no surprise that in the middle of the advice that Solomon is giving this great wise man, the wisdom that he gives that's so applicable to life, that he pauses and he gives us wisdom about words, about our mouth, about what we say. Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3. We're going to use this verse as our anchor verse. There'll be other proverbs that I'm going to read associated with this topic. Proverbs 13, verse 3. Notice what Solomon says. The one who guards his mouth protects his life. The one who opens his lips invites his own ruin. Another translation says, open your mouth and it ruins everything. Now, people have proven that to be true time and time again. Solomon is warning us to guard our mouths. Now, why does somebody post a guard? They post a guard because there's a perceived threat, that there's the possibility that I'm going to be attacked, and there's a great risk at hand, and I need protection. Well, the protection that Solomon's talking about is not from the outside, but it's from within. The person who is guarding his mouth is guarding his life. Proverbs 18:21 goes along with this. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Now, it doesn't get any clearer than that. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Your mouth, your tongue, your words have the power to bring life or to bring death to someone. Have you heard the phrase, words create worlds? Words create worlds. A word of encouragement creates a world of life. A word of discouragement creates a world of death. And it's really true. If your words are that important, then you need to learn how to speak what? Life-giving words. Now, Solomon knew the difference. He uses the word mouth, tongue, lips, words 150 times in the book of Proverbs. And so what I want to do is I want to take all those words and narrow it down to three categories of words that will help us, points that will help us, life hacks that will help us live a better life that will glorify God. So here they are. Number one, speak carefully. Speak carefully. The opposite of careful is careless. We're just careless. We don't mean to say that, but it just seems to come out. Proverbs 13:3 again says, the one who opens his lips invites his own ruins. Literally, that's translated, he who opens his mouth wide. Have you ever said, after listening to somebody, that guy's got a big mouth? Well, that's about as close to the Hebrew as you can get right there. That guy's got a big mouth. She's got a big mouth. I mean, they just say things they shouldn't be saying. That person has a big mouth, and what does Proverbs say? It's going to ruin their lives. It's going to bring death. Perhaps one of the biggest lies that we said as children, remember saying this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but what? Words will never hurt me. Now that's a lie. Long after the bones have been healed, there's the pain of hurtful words. You remember them right now. You broke a bone a long time ago, it doesn't hurt. But those words, that one word, really has created pain for you. It's created a world of death. Have you ever heard someone speaking and you said to yourself, good grief, I mean, is there a disconnect between their head and their mouth? Their brain and their mouth? I mean, why are they saying those things? Now, I want to give you a couple tools because God is saying, be careful. Be careful how you speak. Think about the words that you use that have incredible power. So if we're going to speak carefully, the first thing we need to do is speak less. Solomon really has a lot to say about that. To speak less. Don't run your mouth to fill up the quiet space. It doesn't mean that when it's quiet, you have to start saying something. You just had that urge, I've got to say something, it's too awkward that we're quiet in here. Well, no, you don't have to say something. Those who talk a lot usually end up regretting what they've said. Proverbs 17:27. The intelligent person restrains his words, and one who keeps a cool head is a man of understanding. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning when he seals his lips. You know what he's saying? Using fewer words increases your IQ. If I say less, I'm really a wise person. Did you know that there is no law in the United States of America that says that you have to talk? There's no law. You don't necessarily have a right to say everything that you're thinking. Now, you have a right to say whatever you want to say, but you really don't have a right. In fact, there are laws that say that you don't have to speak. You have protection. You have the right to remain silent. We all know that, don't we? Using fewer words increases your IQ. Calvin Coolidge, president of the United States, said, I was never hurt by anything I didn't say. I was never hurt by anything I didn't say. Most of us have never been hurt by not saying the things that we were thinking. We have a lot of regrets. We wish we could take back the words that we spoke in that moment. Look at these verses. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man who speaks too soon? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 20:19. Avoid someone with a big mouth. Proverbs 10:19. When there are many words, sin is unavoidable, but the one who controls his lips is wise. So our words matter to God. There's power in a word. And God is saying, be careful what you say. The first step is to speak less. The second step is to listen more than you speak. To listen more than you speak. Proverbs 18:13. The one who gives an answer before he listens, this is foolish and disgrace for him. Now James would also say this in James 1:19. Everyone must be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now by nature, we tend to speak first and then listen. Right? We want to share our opinion first, and we want to make sure that we're understood before we listen to somebody else. We want to be understood first. Now that's why you practice chewing somebody out in the shower out loud. Right? We can all confess that we've done that. Or in the car, you just start chewing somebody out. Why is it that we don't practice listening? When you have that urge to practice your lecture, when you're going to chew somebody out, why don't you just stop and say, you know, I'm going to practice right now listening. I'm just not going to say anything. Because everybody in the house who hears you in the shower knows what's going on, right? So we just be quiet. People don't need a lecture. They need somebody to listen to them, to understand them. You know, 90% of my counseling is listening to somebody. About 10% of my time with that person is sharing with them. They just need somebody so they can vent and they can get it off their chest and they can share. They want to be understood. They want to feel that somebody cares. They don't need a lecture. Parents, well, this is tough, isn't it? Because our kid he's in a mood. Or they say something that's sharp and it's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. And man, you've got the lecture and you're going, but what you didn't realize is that day at school, somebody made fun of what your child was wearing. They were embarrassed in the classroom. They weren't the best at what the other kids were doing, and somebody made fun of them. That's why when our children are speaking in those tones, we just need to say to ourselves, probably something going on that really doesn't have anything to do with me. So first of all, you must speak carefully. Now I'm going to give you an illustration personally of this. I might have shared this several years ago. I don't know if I did or not. But when I was in Mississippi, we went out to visit. I had two other people with me, and we went to make a visit. Somebody who had visited our church. And we had gone in and made our introductions. And there were three people there, and they were just friends. There was one person who lived there, and then there were two peers that were there, another man and a woman. And I began to just kind of get into it and shared about what God's doing at our church, and about how important our small group ministry is. And they were not connected to a church. They'd visited our church. They enjoyed the church. But in the conversation, they told me that very day, this woman found out, she cuts hair, and she found out that a very close friend of hers had died in a very tragic death, had taken his life. And so in that moment, I'm trying to discern, what do I need to do here? Do I need to say anything about that? Do I need to share the gospel? What do I need to do? And so I empathized with them. And then I proceeded to share with them the hope that we have in Christ. And when I began to go down that path, I could tell it got real uncomfortable in the room. And I'm saying to myself, I probably should stop and just make a sweet exit, because I don't think they're hearing what I'm saying. And I went through it, and then I closed out in a word of prayer, and I left. Well, that was like in the fall. And then in the spring, I found out somebody came to my office and said, Brother Mark, you remember making that visit? That girl who cuts hair and her friend had died? And I said, yeah. She's real upset with you. And she hadn't been back to our church. And I said, well, why is that? She said, because she didn't think that you really cared about what happened to her friend. And you just started talking about Jesus. And man, I'm telling you, that was a knife to my heart. Because you know how much I love to share the hope that we have in Christ. And I'm telling you, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I was miserable. And so on Monday night, when I had another group. I had two other people. Different team. And I said, we're going to make a visit tonight, but I want y'all to stay in the car, and I'm going to go to this house. I knocked on the door. She came to the door, and I didn't go in. I just stayed there, and I said, I don't know if you remember who I am. Oh, I remember who you are. And boy, that really helped. And I said, well, I'm here to apologize because I was not sensitive that night, and I said more than I should have said, and I hope that you'll forgive me. And she said, oh, I do. It's okay. I really appreciate you coming by to see me. You see, even in our best intentions, and let me tell you why I shared the gospel. I felt my motive was pure, but I wasn't sensitive to that context. The week before, I made a visit of a couple, a married couple, and they had lost one of their family members in death that week. They were uncertain about their own eternal destiny. And I shared the gospel, and both that husband and wife gave their heart to Christ that night. They were completely overjoyed with knowing the hope of eternal life. But that night, in that girl's home, I made a big mistake. We need to speak carefully. Sometimes we open our big mouths, even with the best of intentions. And we need to be sensitive to people because most of the time, they want to be understood first. Then we earn the right to share with them. So we need to speak carefully. Secondly, we need to speak truthfully. We need to speak truthfully. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are detestable to the Lord, but faithful people are His delight. Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue only a moment. Now here's what this means. Dishonesty can bring temporary relief at the moment, but it will result in permanent pain. On the other hand, if I am honest, if I tell the truth, it may be painful at the moment, but it leads to permanent relief. It'll be a good thing. The truth is hard to say sometimes. Proverbs 14:25, a truthful witness rescues lives, but one who utters lies is deceitful. Proverbs 16:13, righteous lips are a king's delight, and he loves one who speaks honestly. Proverbs 26:28, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth causes ruin. Proverbs 6:16, six things the Lord hates, in fact seven are detestable to him, one of those a lying tongue. Now, we know that lying is something we shouldn't do, and lying and dishonesty cause problems, but there's something else that sometimes we don't see as a lie, but often it is, and that's called gossip. It's called gossip. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip goes around revealing a secret, but the trustworthy keeps a confidence. Proverbs 16:28, a contrary man spreads conflict, and a gossip separates friends. Proverbs 18:8, a gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to one's innermost being. Proverbs 26:20, without wood, fire goes out. Without a gossip, conflict dies down. Now what happens? A gossip produces a world of death for himself and others. And most of the time, gossip is lying. Now, somebody will say, but what I said was true. Well, that doesn't mean you had to say it. And it doesn't mean it was the right time to say it. And most of the time, we embellish what was said or what is the truth, right? Have you ever said this at the end of a gossip conversation? I've told you more than I know. What were you saying? What were you saying that was more than you knew? I've told you more than I actually know. So we need to be very careful. Solomon says we need to speak carefully and truthfully. Third, we need to speak constructively. You know, your words can help build people up or tear them down. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but hear this, a good word cheers it up. You know, while anxiety pulls a person down, it weighs them down. They're so discouraged, they don't need somebody piling up on them more discouraging words. But it's in that moment that an encouraging word will lift them up, will help them. How many people have chosen a path of life because of words that were encouraging? A singer, a painter, an artist. But how many songs were never written? How many paintings were never painted? How many dreams were never realized? Because at that critical moment, somebody spoke a discouraging word. You can't do that. That's crazy. Rather than an encouraging word to lift them up. The book of Proverbs says a cheerful word encourages man, and an encouraging word builds him up. And I want to ask you today, if you don't get anything else out of this sermon, leave here today determining that I'm going to be a person who encourages others. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do what Solomon says, the wisest man who ever lived. I'm going to do what God wants each of us to do, is to encourage people, not to discourage them, not to be critical of them, but to build them up. Another way to speak constructively instead of destructively is found in this verse, Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. The right words can solve many problems. Gentle words can diffuse anger and conflict. When somebody gets angry and speaks loudly, you speak softly. When somebody starts to say more words, you use less words. Many times the way people are talking to us has nothing to do with us. Listen, hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. We don't understand the pain that they're in. Hurt people say hurtful things, but that doesn't mean that we have to say hurtful things, that we have to lower ourselves to their level. Instead, we take the high road. Now, the best verse in the Bible that addresses this issue is the verse that we find, the seven statements that Jesus said on the cross. There are seven that we have recorded. And what did he say? Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Most people, if they were in their right mind and knew what they were saying, would not say those things. But they're caught up in the moment. Their emotions have taken over. And so we say hurtful things. Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So the power of a word can create a world of life or a world of death. And the ultimate expression of this truth is for a person to say these words. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Have you made that confession? It's not just words, it's a commitment that you're making. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that I believe that Jesus Christ is who he said that he was. He is the sinless Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin, which I could not pay. It was a debt that I could not repay. But instead of me paying for my sin, Jesus Christ shed his blood to cover my sin. He was buried in a tomb for 3 days and then he rose from the dead. He lives today and he wants to live in your heart. You see, you have the power to create a world of life or a world of death. And when you make that confession of your life, you're creating a world of a fulfilled life, an eternal life, a home in heaven for you. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. There might be somebody here who would say, Pastor, I've never made that confession. It's a confession of our will. It's not an emotional confession because we're caught up in a moment. It's not an impulsive confession. It is a confession of the will that I am intentionally confessing today that I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. I want to help Him. I want Him to help me control my life, to rule my life, to lead my life. I've been in charge and it's not been good where it's led me. And so this morning I want to surrender my life to Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to have that assurance. I want to have that fulfilling life. I want to have that eternal life. In just a moment when we sing this next song, I'll be here at the front to help you make that commitment to Christ. You may not know what to say or do, but you know that God is pulling your heart toward Him. And if you'll come, then I'll help you with that commitment. There are many in this room who know the Lord, but if we're really honest, we've been careless with our words. We've not been encouraging to others when we should have been. And maybe there are some that God's put on your heart. You need to correct that. You need to ask for forgiveness. You need to speak into their lives and make things right and to reconcile that. And to leave today with the determination, I'm going to encourage others. And understand the power of a word. There might be some that God is leading to become part of our fellowship this morning. No, we're not a perfect church, and you know, all of us are not perfect. But we desire to build a church that glorifies God, a place where we can encourage one another, build each other up as we live for Christ in this culture. There might be others who just need to come and pray or to talk with somebody, pray with somebody about a different matter. We're here to help you as God speaks to your heart. Father, I thank You for speaking to us this morning. Thank You, Lord, for making Your word so clear to us, so relevant to us and where we live. So, God, I pray that You'll help these who maybe need to make that confession this morning, Lord, who need to turn their heart toward You, to those who need the help to say the right thing at the right time. God, I pray that You'll help them now. In Jesus' name, amen.